Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Men in Tights podcast. I hope you all are having a lovely week. We'll be having an even better weekend. And please make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, or YouTube. And please be sure to follow me on Twitter at IamFozitude for any and all future podcast information. Now, the whole purpose of this particular episode is one that I've been kind of building up in my head for a while. I've briefly talked about it in previous episodes, but I wanted to devote an entire episode to this because, well, it's something that I have quite a lot to say, and obviously you can see it in the title and the thumbnail that I'm talking, that this episode is called The Fandom Problem, because I wanted to talk about the many fandoms that are out there, you know, whether it's Star Wars or DC or Marvel or Game of Thrones and various video game, you know, fandoms out there, you know, like, you know, like Overwatch or Fortnite and you know, things of those natures. And just wanted to talk about what my many problems with them are, because I do have a lot of problems. I know I'm part of quite a few, you know, I'm a fan of quite a few of those things. You know, I am a Star Wars, DC, Marvel, Lord of the Rings, a lot of video games, fans, but I really, especially on social media, the way some fans are just really pisses me off and makes me feel so embarrassed to be part of them. Like, I was talking to my friend Frank about it the other day, about how a lot of the fandoms in recent years, with the swell and growth of social media, have become so entitled, tribalistic, close-minded, stubborn, a lot of other words. I'm trying to think of them. They're on the tip of my tongue, but they're just escaping me at the moment. It's just, you know, and I hate the term toxic fandom, but there are quite a few people who can be toxic, you know. You know, again, I hate using the term toxic fandom because, you know, the way a lot of websites and bloggers like to paint all fandoms really pisses me off when they do that. But, again, there are toxic elements to certain people from some certain groups of fandoms. And a big part of why, one of the reasons why I wanted to address this is because of the recent uproar from the Marvel fans, specifically over the comments from Martin Scorsese and Francis Ford Coppola and a couple other directors, because it all started from the comment of Martin Scorsese saying that Marvel isn't, to him, isn't cinema. Then he would go on to elaborate at another interview, because for whatever reason people keep wanting to ask him about the Marvel movies, and it's upsetting the precious fans, and that he says that they're like theme parks. But then when he elaborated in another one that I actually shared it on my Twitter, you can check it out if you want to, when he spoke from someone from E.T., you know, Entertainment Tonight, is the, in case you're wondering, where he elaborated saying, you know, that theme parks, you know, are great. You know, people love going to theme parks. That, you know, that it's an event. And that's what the Marvel movies are, that they're, you know, it's a new kind of art form, is what he was calling it. But the, you know, the movie theaters essentially should just give a chance to the smaller movies, which I agree with him 100%, because, like, the movie The Lighthouse with Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe, hearing so many great things about that movie, but yet the two movie theaters that from where I live are not showing it. It's dominated by Terminator Dark Fate and Maleficent and a bunch of other, like, big budget movies that are out right now. And you know, Doctor Sleep is coming out this week, so there's going to be a few theaters, a few of the screens at those theaters, they're going to be showing that. But none of them are showing the smaller movies like The Lighthouse, and even the Judy Garland movie with Renee Zellweger, that I wanted to see it because, one, I am a Judy Garland fan, and two, I am a Renee Zellweger fan, and I wanted to see that movie. But I think there is only one screen out of the two theaters that's showing it, because most of the screens are devoted to Terminator Dark Fate, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, the Addams Family movie, and whatever else that's, I don't know, Joker, I believe, also, which, Scorsese did say he likes the Joker. He loved the Joker, and that'll piss off a lot of Marvel fans, especially. Which also, speaking of Joker, I absolutely love that without being released in China, it's gonna crack $1 billion. That is just so freaking awesome. And it probably has, well, as I'm recording this, I don't know. I'm recording this on Tuesday evening. So yeah, it probably has already reached $1 billion. And I'm so happy that it has, because like I tweeted out that, you know, you don't have to be the Avengers to be a successful movie anymore. Because like this year alone, most of the movies that have, you know, cross that $1 billion mark were Disney owned properties. You know, Captain Marvel, Aladdin, Avengers Endgame, of course, you know, highest grossing movie of all time. The Lion King. Which, you know, you can check out my review for Lion King and Endgame and Captain Marvel on here as well. And you know, Lion King to me and to a lot of other people was not that great of a movie. It was nothing like the original animated movie from the 90s that is my all-time favorite Disney movie. And I have my retro film review for that as well, in case you want to check that out. Which also kind of brings me to my other, you know, the other fandom, the Disney fandom. Because, you know, for a lot of people that I've spoken to about the Lion King movie, most of us are agreed that our biggest criticism for it was the performance from Beyoncé in the movie. And in sharing our opinions of her less than stellar performance as we saw it, you know, we would get, you know, I guess I don't want to say attacked, but we would receive passionate responses from Beyoncé fans saying that we're jealous because she's literally perfect. And other such nonsense like that, because being fans of these people or these brands or these, you know, these franchises, that any, even the smallest critique is met with just passion and anger, and it's just, yeah, which is just, again, like the way the Marvel fans reacted so angry at Scorsese and Coppola criticizing the Marvel movies, saying, you know, that they're just jealous because their movies have never didn't make $1 billion like the Marvel movies have. And, you know, talking about it with my friends and, you know, my brothers and my, you know, even my mom, that, you know, like, just like imagine thinking like this, like I even said, like, imagine thinking that the man who directed the Godfather movies has plenty of Oscars to his name from just the Godfather movies alone, thinking that he's jealous of Marvel. Or Scorsese, who directed so many great movies like Raging Bull, Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, The Departed, Hugo, Gangs of New York, Wolf of Wall Street. You know, thinking that he's jealous of Marvel. He is not jealous of Marvel. You know, Coppola is not jealous of Marvel. They are two of the greatest directors in the history of Hollywood that have directed Academy Award-winning films. I'm sure they would love to have one of their movies make $1 billion, but at the same time, they don't care. They have their millions and billions, and their winning is from the awards that they win from these movies that they make. You know, the Marvel movies, they win technical awards. No acting awards, no directing awards. Sure, Black Panther got a Best Picture nomination, but it didn't win. The only awards that movie got was technical awards for music and costume and effects and design. None of the direct Ryan Coogler was not directed. None of the actors were I mean nominated. Or and these people campaigning for Robert Downey Jr. to get a Best Actor nomination, even he said no, that he doesn't want it. And you can look it up. He said it on a Howard Stern interview that he did not want them to campaign for him to get a Best Actor nomination. Because as much as he loved, doing those movies, even he knows these aren't Academy Award winning, worthy films. But then again, I might be a little, I might be speculating on that part at least. But even he's saying, no, don't campaign for me to get a Best Actor nomination, is because he knows that, compared to some of the other movies, that maybe it's not deserving of it. Because as great as his performance as Tony Stark was in Endgame, and yes, you can check out my review for that one. I did get emotional talking about it. That's only because I'm passionate about this stuff. That is just. It was not Academy Award worthy performance, in my opinion. Just my opinion. Is it a great movie? Yes. I think it's a great Endgame was a great movie. Is it deserving of the awards that Disney submitted it for? Well, that's that probably not, but who knows? But it's just the way fans get when you just give the smallest criticism. Because like I love the Marvel movies, I love the MCU. And I have my 20 ranking when I ranked all the movies for the Marvel back in December before Captain Marvel and the rest of them came out, ranking from worst to best. And I'm sure some of the people that checked that out did not like the way I arranged some of the movies that I had, like that I had Thor Ragnarok on the bottom half of my list, because so many people that they praised that as the greatest of the MCU. And that's fine. I mean, it's not a bad movie. It was not what I wanted for that for the for that from that film, but that doesn't mean it's a bad movie. Because people who if you're a fan of Norse mythology, Ragnarok is supposed to be a monumental event for the people of Asgard. It's because it's the death and destruction of the people of Asgard and of Asgard itself. And Ragnarok turned it into a quick, punchline joke, which I was not a fan of that because I was very much looking forward to seeing a very dark, gritty story about Ragnarok. But it wasn't. I mean, it was what it was. It is the most successful Thor movie so far. We have Thor: Love and Thunder coming out in a few years, and they said that they might explore Jane Foster's character getting cancer, like in the comic books, and then that's when she becomes, the Mighty Thor, Lady Thor, which whatever you want to call her. Which I'm curious to see how far and how deep they go in with that, but I'm not anticipating it to be very dramatic, because Taika Waititi is a comedy act director. He is, and that's nothing wrong with that. Like I love the was it What We Do in the Shadows? I think it's what it's called, the vampire mockumentary, movie and the show that he has. I love that. It was I laughed my ass off when I the first time I saw it, and I still laugh my ass off at it. I haven't watched the show yet. But I will eventually. Because he's a comedy director and a comedy actor. So, because that's his specialty. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, Todd Phillips, he was a comedy director before he did War Dogs and then Joker. And, I'm sure talk to most people, now they say Joker is his greatest work. It's his crown jewel. Not the Saudi Arabia wrestling pay-per-view, but you know what I mean. Yeah, so, but just again, the way the fans can get, especially in recent years with the Star Wars movies, with the newer ones, with the sequel trilogy as it's called now, with Rey and Rose Tico and all of them, and the Raylo shippers, which I mean. can do a whole other podcast on that to say what I really feel about that, because yeah, I have my thoughts on that whole thing, but I'm not going to share it on here because it's not about that. Yeah, and plus I don't want to upset too many people about what I want to say on that one. Maybe I'll share my feelings on that when I do the Rise of Skywalker review next month. But it's just the tribalism and the entitlement and the stubbornness and just the inability and to accept the opinions of others. I used to be that way. I admit I did used to be that way, and in retrospect it was a terrible look for me. I hate that I used to be that way, and you know, that's why over the past year I've adopted the attitude of people are going to love what they love, people are going to hate what they hate. That's fine. Who am I to tell them they're wrong for it? You know, that's the mindset I've adopted. Because I admit, when I used to get very defensive when people would trash on like Batman vs. Superman or Man of Steel, and I would defend them so much because I love those movies. I do. In fact, I'm listening to the Batman vs. Superman score as I'm recording this right now. I love those movies. And I used to get very passionate and defensive of anyone who made even the slightest critique of those films. But now, when I see somebody make a critique on those movies, rather than lashing out at them like I used to, I engage in as civil of a discussion as I possibly can. Like, one person that, you know, critiqued Batman vs. Superman because of the whole Batman Kills thing, which I'm not going to get into, because that's all, again, I've talked about that in previous podcasts. I think it was even one of the ones that I did a year ago, the I think it was the Snyder Cut Part 6 episode, the Nutma Batman episode. But yeah, the one person that, and she was being attacked by a lot of people, because she made the comment of, you know, about Batman killing in Batman vs. Superman, and of course, us DC fans, we get so passionate and angry about that kind of thing, and rather than attack her like others were doing, instead, I simply asked her, it actually started with, she made a comment about Zack Snyder still have a career, which, yeah, a lot of Zack Snyder fans do get very passionate, to say the least, and they attacked her, and I simply asked, like, you know, what does it matter to you, in a very calm manner, and then she brought up the Batman killing, and rather than being a fanboy about it, I just simply, you know, just said, like, well, I mean, that's how you feel, that's fine, you know, nothing wrong with that. And now her and I have become pretty good friends. You know, jumping off of that initial tweet, I'm not going to say her name, or at least I'm not going to say her Twitter handle, because I don't want anyone to attack her. But hopefully, if she's listening, she knows, you know, that I'm talking about her, Jamie. But yeah, because rather than being a dick like others were, I approached it in a civil manner, and I gained a friend out of it. And I wish more people would do that. Because I've been attacked by a lot of people on Twitter, and Instagram, and on Facebook, simply for having a differing opinion on these things. Again, like, you know, Batman doesn't kill and all that stuff, and yeah, he does have that code, you know, it is canon in most adaptations of Batman. But my defense has always been, it's not that Batman doesn't kill, it's that he shouldn't kill. That's the way I see it. He shouldn't kill, but sometimes he has to. As every hero eventually, you know, every hero comes to that, this comes to that crossroad at some point. But Superman, a lot of people, the Man of Steel, the way Superman snapped Zod's neck, a lot of people did not like that. And they said that, oh, he should have put the hands over his eyes, which, you can check out my other Snyder Cut part one where I talk about Man of Steel and I address my opinions on all of that. And it's like, yeah, I get it, you don't want him to snap someone's neck, but at the same time, the depiction of Zod in Man of Steel, he was a maniac and he was gonna stop at nothing until humanity was reduced to ash. Because he was pissed off. But yeah. You don't want the heroes to have to kill. But you have to acknowledge that sometimes it's necessary. Like Iron Man killed a couple people in his movies, in the Avengers movies. I don't remember anyone complaining about that, but that's a discussion for another day. But it's just going back to Star Wars. The way some of the fans are, that because like Anthony Daniels, the actor who played C-3PO, who the fascinates me that he's the only actor of the main Star Wars storyline to have appeared in all the movies. He was in the original trilogy, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. He was in the prequel trilogy, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith. And then he's in the sequel trilogy, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and he'll be in Rise of Skywalker. And he's the only actor to appear in all 9 main story Star Wars movies. And I absolutely love that. But he, shared, I don't remember if it was an interview or if it was a quote from his book that I think is coming out or has already come out. Where he said that he understands the frustration fans have with the newer Star Wars movies. I can't remember the exact quote that he said, but a lot of fans jumped on him and made it a whole, angry old white man, blah, 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 blah. Like, if anyone deserves to share their opinion, it's the guy who's been in all the damn movies since 1977. I mean, come on. He's been doing it for 40 years, 40 plus years. And anyone has a right to critique the Star Wars movies. It's the man who's been in 9 out of 11 Star Wars movies at this point. And has voiced the character of 3PO on all the animated adaptations of it as well. That includes video games and some of the cartoons, like the Clone Wars. And all the other and the other video games, like there's never anyone else who has did 3PO except for him, so he knows Star Wars from front to back, top to bottom, left to right, side to side, everything. And then people jumping on him because he gave a fair and reasonable criticism, saying, because if I remember correctly, it was something like, that he understands, that people are passionate about these characters and these stories, and that, they don't like, seeing it messed with or whatever. That's a reasonable criticism. It is. But these people jumped on him because, that he was saying, because one of the things he said was that he's a little frustrated that he hasn't been able to do more in the newer movies as 3PO, but that at the same time he understands that the story is not about him, and he understands that. Again, a reasonable, logical, very civil response to that. And these people jumped on him and started saying shit like, I hope 3PO dies in the next one now. Like, what is up with these people's mindsets? But that an actor giving a reasonable criticism of his own movie, that they hope his character dies because, his opinion is that didn't mesh with theirs. Like, again, that's why I go back to, like, where I say that people are so close-minded and unwilling to accept the opinions of others. Like, everyone has an opinion, everyone's going to have opinions, that's never going to change no matter what. You can't convince everybody to think the same way as you do. Believe me, I've tried. When I see these things, it pisses me off and enrages me, because it's like, I am part of this. This is the fandom that I'm part of. Like, I'm a fan. Like, I'm, when people talk about the toxic groups of, for like Star Wars fans, DC fans, just Zack Snyder fans or whatever. I'm grouped in with those kind of people, and I hate that, because the way bloggers and, you know, the quote journalists like to blend all of them together as one, you know, as if the and put like a blanket label on the entire group as a whole, and which I hate that too so much. I really do. And same with wrestling fans. I don't get along with a lot of wrestling fans anymore. You know, a lot of my wrestling friends, I used to have a lot of wrestling friends. Now it's a very, very small, less than a handful of people that I can say are my wrestling friends that I still associate with. Because so many of them, like, especially fans that are 100% anti-WWE, which, I mean, I get it, WWE has not had the greatest product in a while. They still have some great shows, they still have a lot of great matches. Hell, Raw and SmackDown, last week's SmackDown with the NXT Invasion was the best episode of SmackDown that they've had this year. And hell, even Raw, some of the stupid stuff, like with the Rusev Bobby Lashley nonsense, that I hate that so much. It was still the best Raw that they've had in a while, in my opinion, at least. But fans who will just crap on everything from WWE because it's trendy, it's popular, they will never be happy. Like we just had the Crown Jewel pay-per-view that I briefly mentioned before. Because there was the whole controversy when they started doing the shows last year, when they did the first Greatest Royal Rumble pay-per-view, and then they did the Crown Jewel later in the year, and then they did the other one, you know, back in June, and then Crown Jewel last week. Now, the whole controversy of that, you know, the women weren't allowed to wrestle over there. And then for Crown, this the recent Crown Jewel, they finally were able to get a wrestling match on there, and it was a monumental moment. The first time that the women get to wrestle in Saudi Arabia, you know, it was a great history-making moment. But fans complained because it wasn't who they wanted in the match. You can't always have it. When I get so frustrated with these people, I stumble over my words. You can't complain when they're not on the show and then complain when they are on the show. You know, just because it was Lacey Evans and Natalya, okay, I get it. We've seen that match so many times already. I get that part. But be happy that women were featured on the show at all. Because, you know, a year ago, we wouldn't have thought that we would see any women on the Saudi Arabia shows. But we got to have a match with the women on a Saudi Arabia show, on only the fourth show that they've had. And again, yeah, it was Lacey Evans and Natalya, but it was a historic moment, the fact that they even had a match on the show. You know, because I remember, you know, when the Give Divas a Chance hashtag was trending back in 2014, 2015, I can't remember when it was, you know, and fans were happy when they were finally getting, you know, more of that women that can wrestle on the shows. But then they started complaining because, it's them again, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, when we had the Evolution pay-per-view last year, that it was a great pay-per-view. It was a whole show of all the women from WWE. It was a great show. I loved it. The Last Woman Standing match with Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair was awesome. And then when they had a Nassau Coliseum show a few months ago, where they had the Fatal 4-Way women's match to determine the number one contender for SummerSlam, fans were chanting boring, and they were booing the whole match. And it's like, this is the same fan. This is the same venue where they had the all women's pay per view that was great from start to finish. People loved it. The fans were on their feet for the entire thing. And then they're shitting on this women's match that, you know, that actually meant something, because it was they gave them about 15 to 20 minutes worth of TV time to give the fans as entertaining of a match as they possibly could. And it was, and I thought it was a really good match too. But the fans shit on it so much, and it just And I went on Twitter just like this is the same place that they did the Evolution pay-per-view, and these fans are just shitting on it. This match, wrestling fans are just some of the most entitled garbage people. And like the way they like the AE with AEW Dynamite, that they blindly praise every single thing that they do, like it's the greatest thing to ever happen to professional wrestling since in professional wrestling was invented. And I know the majority of that praise is simply because it's not WWE. But be realistic. Overall, the shows have been good, and for AEW Dynamite. But they are not the perfect gems that a lot of fans think they are. And this is another conversation that I had with my brother that like they're trying a little they try a little too hard sometimes with what they're presenting. Like it's, like the constantly referencing WWE on their programming. That has gotten very old for me very quickly. Them putting pay-per-view level matches for free on their show. That's exactly what WCW did. And like I said to him, when you give away those kind of matches on free TV, the fans might not be so inclined to purchase the pay-per-view. But the fans, they're praising every single thing that AEW is doing simply because it's not WWE. And I'm actually planning on doing a whole separate podcast about my critiques of AEW's Dynamite, which I'm sure a lot of the AEW fans are not gonna like what I have to say. But yeah, they're just blindly praising it as if like it's better than anything. And like I've seen people say like, "Oh, this one episode of AEW Dynamite is better than anything that WWE has done in the last 20 years." And I'm just thinking, you're seriously gonna think that this two-hour show on TNT is better than literally anything WWE has done in 20 years? Better than WrestleMania 17, better than ECW One Night Stand 2005, better than Royal Rumble 2000 that featured one of my all-time favorite WWF title matches, Cactus Jack and Triple H Street Fight. These little two-hour shows from a company that's still in its infancy is better than those historic moments in pro wrestling from 20 years ago. Come on. You're just being a blind fanboy. But again, I'll do a whole separate podcast on it at some point. Probably next week. Who knows? And then with the Disney fans, going back to that also, like I said, I'm recording this Tuesday night. We had the Little Mermaid live on ABC, which I did not enjoy because they kept going back and forth between the animated movie and then cutting to the live musical performances, which they cut out a lot of parts from the animated movie, and the musical performances were, eh. I mean, they did add three new songs to it, which I don't know if it's part of the Broadway version of it, or if they just came up with it for this. But I kept thinking throughout the whole thing, just you might as well have just shown the animated movie because the constant back and forth was whatever. And then I decided to check out Twitter and see what people were saying about it, and then just like with Beyonce, when people that when I talked about criticizing Beyonce from The Lion King. Talking about how it was literally perfect, that everything was perfect, Flay Queen, Flay blah blah blah. Mean, yeah, it's okay to say that you loved it, but don't blindly say that it's perfect just because it's Disney. Disney is not. They're not flawless. Disney. I mean, because. Like I said, Disney is like five of the. Well, was it five? Let me see. Captain Marvel, Endgame, Aladdin, Lion King. All right, four of the top grossing movies this year were Disney movies. Disney Marvel, movies. And subjectively, only maybe two of them were actually good. And that's me being generous with that. But you give one slight criticism on them, then you're they attack you for, like, if you criticize Captain Marvel, then automatically you're a sexist. If you criticize the Aladdin movie, oh, you're racist because it's, you know, Will Smith was perfect. I mean, it was better than expected, but it was not a great movie, in my opinion. You know, like The Lion King, I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was, but it's nothing like the one from, you know, the 90s that, like I said, is my all-time favorite Disney movie. You know, and Avengers Endgame, as much as I love that movie, it was not perfect either. Sorry to burst the bubble of some of the Marvel fans out there. Endgame was not a perfect movie. There are a lot of flaws. Well, I won't say a lot of flaws, but there are some elements that you can, you know, poke holes in the story, and, you know, like one of the Halloween 5 actors in the Halloween 5 documentary, I remember that he said, you start poking some holes in this film, you're gonna end up with some Swiss cheese. You can do that with Endgame. Actually, honestly, you can pretty much do that with any of the MCU movies, because my biggest critique, even though I love the MCU movies, again, I can't stress that enough, a lot of them do follow a basic formula of with the presentation. That, I mean, with the exception of the ending of Infinity War, all of them have had a happy ending. They've all ended happy. I mean, Far From Home did have the twist, you know, in the mid-credit scene where Peter Parker's identity was revealed, and, you know, had the awesome J.K. Simmons cameo. I fucking love him. Anyways. And yeah, the mid-credit scene for Ant-Man and the Wasp did show when, you know, Hope and Janet and Hank were dusted, or they blipped, as they called it in Far From Home. You know, but like the main ending from Infinity War, like when the credits started rolling, was not a happy ending at all. And I love that, because they actually took that risk. I mean, yeah, we all knew they were coming back in the next movie, so, you know, that they kind of spoil it for some people. This, with the exception of that ending of Infinity War, pretty much every MCU movie up to that point had a happy ending. And Infinity War, they finally took a risk by sending people home with wondering what the fuck just happened, you know, kind of ending. But even Infinity War, you criticize some elements of that. People are gonna jump on you for, like, oh, you must be a DC shell. DC is never made against purity. DC can never do Infinity War, even though, you know, you follow the whole Zack Snyder DC thing, you know, he was gonna have Infinity War and Endgame before Infinity War and Endgame. It's like you can't criticize these movies or these stories, because, you know, if you do, then you're a fanboy of the opposition, or you're a misogynist, you're a racist, you're a sexist, you're jealous, you know, all these other stupid things. You know, like, even though I can say I enjoyed Captain Marvel, I can still criticize parts of it. But I, you know, made my criticisms on Twitter, where I said, like, I loved Captain Marvel. You know, well, I won't say I loved it. I liked Captain Marvel, but it doesn't even touch Wonder Woman from 2017, because it wishes it could be the Wonder Woman movie. And I did get some passionate responses from Captain Marvel fans saying that, you know, that because Captain Marvel made $1 billion, that it was infinitely superior to Wonder Woman, which I have always hated the argument that if it makes more money, that means it's better, because if that's the case, then the Transformers movies, the recent Transformers movies that have made over $1 billion are better than some of the Marvel movies also. And, you know, like the Jurassic World movies that are not overwhelmingly loved, both of them made $1 billion, and so are they better than some of the Marvel movies? Because they did make more money than some of the Marvel movies. And like Aquaman made over $1 billion, and I loved Aquaman, but I understand why some people didn't love it, and that's fine. I don't care, because I loved it. They didn't like it. Good for them. That's how they feel. I'm not gonna tell them they're wrong for it. My only thing is just I tell people to be open-minded. Like again, my friend, I believe it was my friend Jamie, when the one I mentioned before about the Batman killing, that I encourage her to check out the Ultimate Edition of Batman vs. Superman because the story is explained much better. And that was it. Because I encourage people to be open-minded and approach things, with, because if you approach it with the mindset that you're going to hate it, then even if it's a good thing, there's no way you're gonna like it because you already went in with the preconceived, notion that you're gonna hate it. That's why I pretty much go into everything with low expectations, so that my expectations more often than not are surpassed. Like with The Lion King, I didn't go into it expecting it to be the greatest thing ever. I expected to be entertained, and I was, but it was nothing like the original animated film. Like with Sp and then Spider-Man Far From Home, I didn't go into it with the highest of expectations, and I was pleasantly surprised at how much I loved it, and that's why in my ranking, I had it put so high on my list of the Spider-Man movies. With Captain Marvel, my expectations were neutral, where I was excited to see it, but I wasn't so like, oh my god, it's gonna be the greatest thing ever, and I enjoyed it for the most part, like I said. And also the other movie that came out earlier this year, Fighting With My Family. This is the movie about, WWE superstar Paige. That I didn't go into. I went into it not expecting that much out of it. I expected like, all right, it's gonna be a fun wrestling movie. I love wrestling movies. And I was very surprised at how much I love that movie. And as soon as the Blu-ray came out, I bought it, day one, and have watched it several times since then. And like with the Joker movie, like, I mean, I went into it knowing that I was gonna at the very least be entertained, but I hadn't and I but I had no idea that how much I was gonna end up loving the movie, which is why I'm so happy that it's gonna cross that $1 billion mark and be the highest grossing and most profitable R-rated film of all time, because it already is the top R-rated film of all time. But just if it crosses that $1 billion mark without the help of being released in China, that will be phenomenal. That will just be the greatest thing ever. Because like I said, it shows that you don't have to be an Avengers movie to be successful in Hollywood these days. And then and also like with some of the video game, fandoms, like you have like the way again people get tribal when it comes to this. Like you have the PlayStation fans, you have the Xbox fans, you have the Nintendo fans, and you have the PC fans who hate all of them. Because like X PlayStation and Xbox fans butt heads, and then the Nintendo fans, they're caught in the middle. And the PC fans hate all the console people. I mean, not all of them, but that's the general idea. That's the general narrative that's put out there. I'm just a fan of video games. I love video games. I've played games on the regular Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, GameCube, the Wii. Have not played anything on the Switch, but I plan on, changing that when I have the financial means to do so. And I've played games on PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, I've played Xbox 360, not Xbox One. But I am just a fan of video games overall. But there are the fans, again, it's mainly PlayStation versus Xbox fans, that they get very tribal and stubborn when it comes to like comparing the exclusive games for each one. Because like Xbox, they have Halo and Gears of War, and then like and then sorry, PlayStation has Uncharted and The Last of Us, which you already know how much I love those games if you follow me on Twitter and pretty much everything. And I always tell people, like, if you're an Xbox fan and you're debating on getting a PlayStation 4, Last of Us and Uncharted are the games to go for first, because Uncharted was the game that got that was the well it was the Nathan Drake collection, as I said in my video game episode from a couple weeks ago, that was what made me get a PlayStation 4 after I played the demo for Uncharted 3 4 years earlier. And I've gone on to play other games, like the Batman Arkham games and the Spider-Man game, which, again, another great exclusive for the PlayStation 4. If anyone out there listening is considering a PlayStation 4, as is Gods of War game, that's another great one. What's another great exclusive game? I can't really think of any other exclusives that are recent. Because there's a lot of games that are, cross-platform, like, Resident Evil or the Red Dead Redemption games, and the Final Fantasy games, Mortal Kombat, the PlayStation fans, we have Nathan Drake and Joel, from The Last of Us, and then Xbox, they have, Master Chief and, Marcus from the Gears game, Xbox fans butt heads with the PlayStation fans because, PlayStation has, they say they have the better exclusives, and then Xbox, because they have the backwards compatibility, and most of the games that they have on there, you can get them on PC, so, Xbox and PC fans are, essentially one and the same. But it's just, again, that tribalism and that possessiveness and that defensiveness and that entitlement. The entitlement is mainly with the comic book fans, because they're fans of these comic books and these characters and these stories, that when the movie versions of them aren't exactly like 100% like the comics, that they get so pissed off, and it's like they get angry because it's like it needs to be exactly like it is on the page, which that doesn't always translate, and I understand that very well, because people complaining about like Hugh Jackman not wearing the Wolverine costume with the yellow costume, which they did tease it in the deleted scene from the Wolverine movie, which it did look pretty cool, but just not all of these costumes translate well into live action, which is why Hawkeye didn't have the purple costume like he has in the comics. Which is why Scarlet Witch didn't have the costume that she's mostly known for in the comics. Falcon didn't have his stupid little costume from the comics. Because the comic accurate look doesn't always translate well. I mean, there are the exceptions, like Deadpool. His costume is spot on accurate to the comics, and it looks great. Shazam, spot on accurate to the comics, and looked great, in my opinion at least. Wonder Woman. Spot on, looks great. Ben Affleck's Batman costume in Batman vs. Superman, at least. Spot on, looked great, looked perfect, in my opinion. And with Henry Cavill and his Superman costume, was not comic accurate, but I loved it. But there was the fans that complained because he didn't have the red trunks, like in the Christopher Reeve movies, or George Reeves, or the Dean Cain, Lois and Clark show, or Superman Returns. But that's because, I understand because that's his traditional look, but it's like, not everyone has to be 100% comic accurate because it doesn't always translate that well. Sometimes it's okay to be different. Because you look at the MCU, they were not 100% comic accurate in a lot of what they did. Like Infinity War, in the comic books, it's Silver Surfer who goes off to warn Earth that Thanos is coming. In the movie, it's the Hulk. Nothing wrong with that. It was a change. It was an adaptation for the film. I didn't remember anyone complaining about that. But everyone was complaining so much because Jason Momoa, instead of being a blonde white guy, he was a Polynesian, and people were like, "Oh, it needs to be a blonde white guy with the orange and green spandex." But He didn't have orange and green spandex. Instead, he had orange and green armor in his movie. And I thought it looked great. Jason Momoa, I might be a little biased because I do love Jason Momoa. He's an awesome guy. Film Junkie said on one of his videos that he's just like a teddy bear. You just want to, hug him and have a Guinness with him. But yeah. And just, he was not a blonde white guy, but he's done great as Aquaman. A lot of people love him as Aquaman. But it's just like, yeah, I understand, we get passionate and possessive with these characters, but it's okay to change it sometimes. Because it doesn't always have to be 100% comic accurate, because comic accurate does not always mean better. I mean, because look at the Ang Lee, Eric Bana Hulk movie. They tried to literally make that a comic book come to life kind of movie in live action. Did not, at least to me, did not translate well. Did not do well in box office either. Sometimes there's the exceptions, like Into the Spider-Verse, which you could say was literally from ripped from the comics story, and it was so great. One best animated feature at the Oscars, and they just announced the release date for the sequel, which I cannot wait for that one. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be so great. Anyway, I'm getting slightly off track. Sorry, I was having a fanboy moment with Into the Spider-Verse. I love that movie so much. But also, because again, just comic accuracy is not always needed. Sometimes it's nice. Other times it's like, maybe they should have changed it so that it could have been better. The first Avengers movie. People complained with Justice League because they didn't have Green Lantern, didn't have Martian Manhunter as the founding members of Justice League. I get that. Even though they were supposed to be featured in the movie, release the Snyder Cut. But Avengers, Ant-Man is a founding member of the Avengers. We didn't get Ant-Man until after the second Avengers movie. Nobody complained about that, as far as I know, at least. I did not see anyone complaining about a founding member of the Avengers not being featured in the first Avengers film. And also because in the comics, Ultron was actually solely created by Ant-Man. In the movie, it was created by Iron Man Iron Man and Bruce Banner. I don't remember seeing people complaining about that. But yeah, because again, Marvel can do no wrong. The MCU is perfect. They cannot do no wrong. Again, not all their movies are great. They're entertaining, they can be enjoyable, but they're not flawless, they're not perfect, they're not exempt from criticism. Don't tell the fans on Twitter and Instagram that, because they will attack you like you insulted their ancestors. That's how ridiculous a lot of them get. And if you don't believe me, just go onto Twitter, say anything negative about the MCU, and chances are you will get some passionate responses, because I definitely have. But again, it's not just with Marvel. A lot of DC fans get ridiculous too, and I've said a lot of times on this podcast that I tend to lean more towards towards DC when it comes to like the movies or the comic books, some of the video games as well. But that doesn't mean that I hate Marvel. I love Marvel and DC a lot. I just tend to relate better with some of the characters and stories from DC. And doesn't mean that I'm not a fan of anything Marvel does. It shouldn't surprise anyone, because Superman is my all-time favorite hero. So, Of course, I would lean slightly more towards DC. But yeah, DC fans can be ridiculous as well. Or more specifically, some Zack Snyder fans. And I love Zack Snyder. Every movie I've ever seen of his that was fully directed by him, I have loved. Like, I loved Dawn of the Dead. I loved 300. I loved Watchmen. Especially loved Watchmen. I loved the Legends of the Guardians, Isles of Gahul. I haven't seen Sucker Punch yet, but I'm sure I'll enjoy that. I loved Man of Steel. I loved Batman vs. Superman. And the short film that he filmed on an iPhone, the Snow Steam Iron. Fucking love that as well. It's a great little short film, which you guys should definitely check that out. I'll put the link to that, to the YouTube video for that, in the description for this podcast, so you can check it out if you want to. But well, to be fair with the Zack Snyder fans, there is a lot of unnecessary hate for Zack Snyder that goes around on social media, which I did cover that on another Snyder Cut episode back in January. Where I've discussed a lot of the unnecessary personal attacks that people direct towards Zack Snyder. And yeah, a lot of it is unnecessary, and I get that. And I agree, a lot of what they say is very disgusting and that's unnecessary. But sometimes, when it's a justifiable criticism about his work, sometimes fans can be a little, some of the Zack Snyder fans can be a little ridiculous. And how they respond to some of these critics about that. Because they're just sharing their opinions on his work. When it is about their work, at least. And then people will attack them in a similar manner to how the Marvel fans attack, people who insult the Marvel movies, or attacking what Scorsese and Coppola said about the Marvel movies. It's not a good look, because when that happens, then that entire group of the fandom gets that blanket label that, oh, that's a toxic group. Snyder fans are toxic, which I have met a lot of. Again, I hate using the term toxic fandom. I have met a lot of bad apples in the Snyder fandom. Which is why a lot of times I try not to associate with others in the fandom, and I try not to, and I keep my distance from it a lot because even because there's a lot of Zack Snyder fans that fight each other, and I try not to get involved in that, but sometimes, my social media friends get pulled into those things, and it becomes so ridiculous, and it's just we attack each other for over the stupidest stuff. Like, I mean, all you gotta do is just search the hashtag release the Snyder Cut on Twitter. You'll find a lot of bad takes on on that kind of stuff. I mean, am I gonna stop being a fan of this stuff? No. All I ask is that other fans, please stop being so stubborn, tribal, entitled, close-minded, and stupid. Please stop. And that does it for this edition of the Men in Tights podcast. I hope you all enjoyed listening and heard some stuff that you liked. And if you didn't like what I said about some of this stuff, well, I mean, you tuned in anyway, you listened, and I appreciate that very much. Like I said, I might do the podcast next week about the AEW Dynamite and my critiques on that product. And haven't decided on that yet, but just check back with me on Twitter at IronFossilSuit so you can know that for sure. In the meantime, please check out my retro film reviews for The Lion King, Masters of the Universe, and Vengeance Baron Munchausen, my worst to best rankings for Spider-Man, Batman, and Halloween, my classic wrestling pay-per-view reviewing Bad Blood Any House from 1997, my other film reviews for Halloween 2018, Aquaman, Fighting with My Family, Captain Marvel, Avengers Endgame, Dark Phoenix, Spider-Man Far From Home, The Lion King, and all my other podcast episodes that I have on here. Again, subscribe to the podcast, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, YouTube, and again, follow me on Twitter at IamFostitute for all the podcast updates. Follow me on Instagram at Fostitude for the fun pictures and memes I post. Follow me on Vero at Fostitude for the fun stuff I do on there. Support the podcast, donating to my Hall of Justice on Patreon for only $5 a month. Link to that will be in the description. Check out the Mennonites Podcast store for shirts, stickers, and art. That link will be in the description as well. And as always, thank you all so much for tuning in, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. I truly, genuinely do. And I hope you enjoy your weekend if you have to work. Hopefully you have fun coworkers. And if you're not working, enjoy with your loved ones. Have fun with your siblings, your kids, whatever you got. This has been the Mennonites Podcast. I am Julian, and I will see you all next time. Bye-bye.